I'm sorry, are you sure this is the podcast you were looking for? Really? Okay then. Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast. Every week, our sad little team discusses gaming in various forms, make stupid wisecracks, and generally embarrass themselves quite well with their so-called expert opinions. Remember, you did this to yourself.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, I figured since, you know, it's the last real show, quote-unquote, of the year, we've got holiday stuff and end-of-year stuff coming up the rest of the year. Figured this would be a good time to cover any, well, last chance to talk about news stories for the year. You know, anything that's come up recently. So, yeah, we're going to run with that. I had a couple ideas, and you had one, right? So yeah. Why don't I knock out one first? And not to bore everybody, because I'm sure anybody who has not had their head stuck in the sand for the last week or so already knows about this. But hey, Bethesda sucks.
How so?
Oh, and they're ridiculously sucky. I mean, they just put out Fallout 76 a few weeks ago.
Right.
It's a sandbox.
Exceedingly excited about it.
Yeah, it's a sandbox prequel to the Fallout games. And, oh, you run around with all these other people. The problem was that they had this big overarching mindset that everybody you meet in the game is a real person. Great. They're not handing you quests. The only NPCs you interact with are robots. And the only story you're getting is through tapes. So you do a lot of sitting and listening. It's super not exciting. A lot of people were down on it. That's on top of all the usual Bethesda bugs. But then they had people demanding refunds, and they were giving them. Then they said, no, they're not giving them, because if you download the game digitally, by the way, it is a 100% digital download game. You can't buy a physical version. The physical version you buy just has a code for you to download the game digitally. And then there was the problems with the collector's edition. $200, right? They give you a neat helmet. They give you all these cool little doodads and stuff, right? That's great. But the helmet, it comes in a really nice canvas bag. Cool. What they got was a cheap nylon bag. So people went to the gear store for support to say, hey, what's up with this? And one person was told, yeah, hey, we found out the materials for the canvas bag were too expensive. So yeah, we went with nylon. We're not going to do anything about it. And then another person who complained said that, oh, we had a lack of availability, so we couldn't make those bags. So, yeah, if anyone wants, they can put in a support request and prove that they bought the collector's edition, and we'll give them 500 atoms, which is $5 worth of microtransaction points, which, by the way, isn't even enough to buy you the canvas bag in-game. That costs $700 because it comes as part of the Postman outfit. So basically, after people kind of lost their collective minds, and there have been this a couple groups of lawyers who have come to the players and said, hey, we're thinking of a class action lawsuit against Bethesda. You in? They went, hey, oh, whoa. We'll help up. If you want refunds, we'll find a way to get you a refund. Hey, if you go ahead and you want that canvas bag, we'll get you a canvas bag, especially after it was found out that they had a bunch of YouTubers and Twitch streamers and other influencers and gaming reporters flown out to West Virginia for an event before the launch. And they always give them swag. Among those held something to hold all their swag. They gave them all canvas bags. Couldn't give it to the people that gave them $200, but they give it to a bunch of influencers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been bad. Oh, but wait, of the people that put in their name for, hey, I want that canvas bag. Same day, they had a glitch, quote unquote, with their support system. And suddenly they were exposing the usernames, real names, addresses, and whatnot of people putting in support requests, including those requesting the canvas bag that they paid for. Now, they got it fixed pretty quick, but it's the last 3 weeks, it's just been hammer after hammer after hammer. I mean, within the first week, they had to cut the price from $60 to $40 because nobody was buying the game.
Well,
within a month, it's going to be a $20 option.
I wouldn't buy it, period. Because, no, it's just, if you're thinking in terms of game longevity, right? Sea of Thieves was a huge flop because they didn't put a whole lot of content in because they expected the players to be the content.
Right.
You know, other players were supposed to be your content. They're doing the same thing here.
Yes.
You're expecting the players to interact and drive your game. Guess what? It doesn't effing work.
No.
Players, yes, it's a multiplayer scenario. Most players, they don't want to talk to one another. They want to shoot one another.
Uh-huh.
So you're not going to have this active, vibrant community unless you do something to form it.
Yeah, you can't just give them a sandbox and let them go.
Yeah, because it's not going to happen. It's going to be Grand Theft Auto in the Fallout universe.
But actually, that's what they wanted, because Grand Theft Auto Online is printing money. It's made more money than any other entertainment property ever. Movie, music, video game, Broadway show, whatever. It's made more money than anything ever has.
Fine. Then tell people that from the beginning. Well, so they know what to expect. You've got people who are Fallout fans, and they're walking into this and they're going, this isn't Fallout, this is Grand Theft Auto. And they're not happy because that's not the genre, that's not the game they want.
But here's the thing. At least Grand Theft Auto gives you quests, it gives you missions.
It does.
Things to do. This really, it does? But it doesn't. You're interacting with robots. You're not interacting with human NPCs. And that's what people are missing. They're used to Fallout where you interact with humans. Some robots as well, but you interact with humans. If they had put a small amount of NPCs in there to drive people to either get out into the world and play, and hopefully to play together, not force it, but just to encourage people to play together, to point them in the right, in the same direction. So if they meet up and they work together and it goes, give them rewards for doing that. And then naturally it builds and you start building communities. They just went poof. We'll just magically, if everything will just magically help itself, we'll just create it, open it up, and start earning all the money.
Okay. Well, even if that happened, even if players, you know, magically decided to work together and they had this great community going, the longevity of a game in most cases is, you know, the popularity, you know, where there's tons of people there. That doesn't last very long.
No.
And so, if you're expecting your server to be just loaded with people, it might be for the first month or so, but then they're going to start to dwindle. And if the whole prospect of your game is based off of lots of people, it's not, you know, people are going to just start leaving because it's an empty, dead world. So you have to start, you know, like merging everybody together to one zone. And then you start to have those lag issues or the queue issues when people try to get in. It just sounds like a bad concept from the start.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, there's so many things you could say about it, but it's like one of the things that kind of fell off the map for me and really is a harbinger of doom for Bethesda's future projects is they're talking about the engine that they use for Fallout 76. All it's right. The same engine they used in Fallout 4. Okay, that would explain why they basically ripped assets straight out of Fallout 4 to make Fallout 76. Now, they did make things a little more colorful in Fallout 76. You have the nice vibrant colors of trees and flowers and whatnot. You know, it's very gray and brown in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
But it's still
pretty much that in almost every Fallout game.
It's basically the same graphics, the same engine. But what's worse is they said, yeah, this engine is robust. It's great because we can just get stuff into it and go. And it's so easy to work with. And it will be being used in the next project they got going is a science fiction game. It's like Skyrim in space. I don't remember the name of it. Starfield, I think it is. And Elder Scrolls 6, they're using the same engine. By the time these things come out, the graphics engine will be like 10 years old. That almost spells doom, especially for Elder Scrolls 6. People will still buy it, but they're going to go, holy crap, this still looks like Skyrim. This looks like Fallout 4. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And the graphics around them are going to be so much better. I just... The hell's wrong with you, Bethesda? I haven't liked you forever, but now many, many other people don't like you too.
Well, part of the problem is they're trying to cut costs. They want to put out something for as, you know, the minimal price so they can earn a greater profit. But they've hit that bubble. You know, they're right at the cusp of that bubble where you either invest more money in the game, you know, improve the engine to drive more buyers, or you sit back and you use what you've got and you save money in the long run, basically. And they're going with the sit back and save money and piss off their customers.
Yeah.
Because they think their name is going to be enough to drive buyers. Well, Fallout 76 was a kick in the balls. Let's hope that wakes them up.
Yeah. That
players are not happy.
Okay, so you had a topic to talk about today. What you wanted to bring up? Maybe it's a little brighter note.
Do you remember a while back, we were talking about games that just, you know, excited us, that we enjoyed, that they were just, you know, they were up there as, you know, one of the best gaming experiences we've had kind of thing.
Sure.
And we were talking about Burnout.
Oh, yeah.
And how much fun Burnout was and how much time we spent crashing cars and just knocking people off the coast highway, that sort of thing. Just all that great fun. And
Burnout 3 is one of the most visceral, enjoyable gaming experiences of my life.
Yeah. But the thing that brought this up was the fact that I was looking around, just, you know, reading the news stories, and then I saw that the spiritual successor to Burnout was coming out next year. It's called Dangerous Driving.
Huh.
And so, of course, I'm all over that. I'm reading everything I can about it. And it looks like several members of the Burnout team are the ones driving this. And let me get some glasses on here. But it's the same kind of game. It has all the same modes. They actually started off with It was like Dangerous Golf or something like that. And then they just started building up from there. And then they had a couple of driving games that added, you know, one feature or another feature to it to kind of build up to this. But now they've got all the features of the Burnout game in an updated game. So it's it looks, I mean, the graphics are kind of iffy, but gameplay wise, it looks like a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, there's a trailer where it's showing a police car. I mean, lights are on, it's going and just ramming cars off the road and just causing all kinds of chaos. And you know it's good when all you can think about is, I need to dust off my copy of Burnout.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that Burnout 3, I have that for the PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. And I've also got Burnout. It was like the next one for GameCube. And it's like, these may not be, you know, 4K top end, you know, most beautiful, you know, they're not Forza. They're not the latest and greatest in racing graphics and technology, but they don't have to be, because Burnout, first and foremost, has been about the gameplay. How does the game feel? The little motions you can do when you get it down, just doing that little extra little nudge to where you get, you know, slam somebody off and, you know, they go flying off the road and smash into the lake or whatever, or you just get the right bump and send somebody careening, or you just do this right jump and you land and you crash and do a massive amounts of damage, taking out like 11 vehicles at the same time. They knew how to make you just feel awesome. There is no, oh, I feel bad about that. If you lose, if you're playing against friends or whatever, and you get bested, what do you want to do? You want to play again. Mm-hmm. Even if you lose, it may be slightly frustrating, but most of the time it's more of a, ha ha, I'm going to get you next time sort of feeling, because it's so balanced and so fun.
And one thing I notice is when we would sit around and have the big party game where everybody was, you know, taking turns playing.
Yeah.
Everybody had their own style to how they would knock other cars off. Eric, a friend of ours, his favorite tactic was he would get up behind them, boost, and push them off the road.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jay, one of his tactics was he liked to slam them from the side and knock them off the road.
Yeah.
I liked to kind of tap them on the front and set them into a spin.
Mm-hmm.
So they would roll. Or I liked it, you know, where there's the cement embankments as your, or the abutments of a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Drive them into those, because I mean, you're guaranteed a spectacular crash.
Yeah, when I would do it, I would usually have problems with trying other people's maneuvers. So the easiest thing for me is to get up alongside them, press them into the side barrier, and just grind them until they eventually catch and flip. Yeah. It is, it's almost a guarantee, it's easy mode. And then if somebody comes up behind you, you boost to get away from them.
Well, the only problem with the grind method is you're doing damage to your vehicle at the same time, and eventually your vehicle will fail.
Yes, but you don't have to win the race to win the battle.
No, not always.
So I was like, if my car fails on me, as long as I've reached gold level in damage done, I don't care.
Well, and one of the things that Eric used to hate is we'd be just racing head to head, causing as much damage as possible, and my vehicle was almost toast. And he's just he's zooming to get past me, and I explode my vehicle right next to him and take him out too.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, I didn't appreciate that much.
You said this is coming out next year. Do you know when?
Yes. I didn't see a release date. It was just coming in 2019.
Huh. Well, I'll have to keep an eye out for that. And maybe starting next year, we'll be looking for that. We'll talk about it more as we learn more about it.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading the comments, and that's always a bad idea because the haters are out in force. Well, it's not as good. It can't be as good. The graphics suck. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Just let the game be made. And then once it's out and we can play it, then we can decide. It could suck hardcore. But from what I'm seeing, it looks like a lot of fun.
So, and yeah. Now I want to break out my Game Boy. No, not Game Boy. I'm sorry. The GameCube and start playing some. Oh, good times.
That's what I put down when I was writing up, you know, some of the, you know, best moments from the what I saw and what I read was that I wanted to dust off my copy of Burnout 3. That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so we only have a few minutes left, but, and I know it's not a huge story. It's just a stupid and goofy story. So I wanted to talk about it. Kind of a end of year, are you fucking kidding me sort of story?
Sure.
Do you remember Soulja Boy?
Kind of. He was popular. Wasn't he like a rapper or something?
He's a rapper. He was popular for like one or two hit songs he had in like 2007. But
okay,
he continues to still be around. Kind of well, like Kardashians. Yeah. But
Kardashians.
Recently, I found out about a website he has.
Okay. Is he doing porn now? Because, I mean, really? He's kind of out of date.
Where'd it go? Well, here's an article about it, but I want to see if they have a link to the website.
No, I got I know. It's Soulja Boy for Jesus. That's what it is.
No.
No?
No. You need to go to SouljaWatch.com. That's S-O-U-L-J-A Watch.com.
Okay.
Because he has his own smartwatch. Oh, wait. He also has Soulja Pods, which are, you know, earbuds.
Okay, so does he think he's like Dr. Dre or something?
Maybe. He also has Soulja headphones, wireless Bluetooth, which is also along the Dr. Dre, you know, Beats line.
Yeah, I know.
But the more important thing is that for $99.99, you can get the Soulja Game, which is a handheld gaming device. Let's see. It's got a 3-inch screen. It's got USB. They're showing pictures in white, but they say the color's black. It's weird. It says it's for Switch, 3DS, Vita, Neo Geo, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, handheld game players. It has 3,000 built-in games. Okay. Now, here's the thing.
Why would anybody want it?
Well,
his name is crap. Hell, Gene Simmons and the Kiss Army have more, you know, customer awareness than Soulja Boy.
Here's the thing. In some tweets, he said he's really proud of it, and he was implying that he designed this device. Same as...
Even not a read?
If you're looking at there, you also have the Soulja Game console for $149.99. Yes, what a great price. $50 off of its usual price. It's a high-definition game console. Also, it but it only comes with 800 built-in games. But it'll play PlayStation, Neo Geo, PC, Sega, Game Boy Advance, and NES video games, right? And it's got a controller that, strangely enough, looks like a PlayStation 3 controller, almost exactly. And it is a very generic box case, and it uses actual art from, like, Tomb Raider and Tekken and whatnot in its ads, which is a huge no-no in the first place. But
he's going to get sued for whatever money he still has.
Here's the thing. Have you ever heard of Alibaba?
And the 40 Thieves?
Well, Alibaba.com, they're kind of like Amazon for China. And you can get anything there, including these exact same products, but you get them cheaper. What he's basically doing is selling allegedly rebranded devices for a little bit more, a little bit of a markup, basically either reselling them from Alibaba, or when someone makes an order, they then order it from Alibaba and ship it to the person. If you look at the console, it doesn't, it looks exactly like what they, you can get from Alibaba. Exactly. For $100. And all they do is slap on some ROMs that they don't have rights to. So what he's basically saying is, hey, look what I made. Come and buy it from my site, because I'm dumb. And eventually Nintendo, most likely Nintendo's going to go, oh, Soulja Boy, we'll see you in court.
No, that's what I figure.
I hope he makes a whole lot of money off of these things and, you know, hides it away offshore, because otherwise he's going to be ruined. They're going to take...
Remember Vanilla Ice?
This is even dumber than Vanilla Ice, though.
No, I know. But he thought he could get away with it. And the court said no. And it basically left him destitute. I'm glad he's back on his feet and doing house flipping shows.
Yeah.
But people don't learn.
You know, what's interesting is since this got covered, he took the phone off. He was selling a phone as well. The Soulja Phone HT, which was a straight up, it was the freaking Honor phone you can buy off of Alibaba. I mean, literally same serial number for the same device, name, everything except for Soulja Boy on it. Yeah. Wow. Somebody probably came to him and said, hey man, we can make so much money doing this. Just, you know, kind of flipping these things, right? And, you know, you think you're better than Dr. Dre, man? You want to get in on that? That Beats money? You'll have your own headphones. You have your own earbuds, man. And you sell them for so much cheaper than he does. People will come flocking to the Soulja brand. Yeah.
Except Dr. Dre has respect in the industry.
Yeah.
That's it.
The sad thing here is, just looking at it, if I was just looking at this as a product, okay, let's say that Soulja Boy really did develop his own console. Okay, great. It only has 800 built-in games. All right, that's fine. Great. Or I could go and spend less on his handheld and get 3,000 built-in games. Now, I know that's because the ROMs they're putting on them are much smaller in size.
Right.
But that's not the point. If you're wanting value, you'd spend less and get the little handheld and not bother with their console, because that console is $149. For $149, I can get a NUC, you know, small little computer, which is much more powerful, slap in a SSD into it and creatively acquire the same ROMs, throw them on it, not have to worry about Nintendo coming after me, and have a much better experience because the processor would be better. It would be able to probably put out in 4K graphics.
Well, and one other thing, you know where the parts came from. So right. You have some assurance of the quality.
Exactly.
If you're buying something, you know, lock, stock, and barrel from China, you could be getting an empty box with like cotton stuffed inside it and a name slapped on it.
Now, to their credit, Alibaba generally, when you buy something, you get it. But a large portion of the time, people have reported that they get it, it plays for a couple weeks and then dies. Okay, who are you going to return it to?
Exactly.
They don't exactly have a return policy. It'll cost you more to try and ship it back. So, okay, I guess I wasted $19.99 on a alleged smart watch or $100 on a handheld gaming device or $38.26 for headphones and $9.99 for earbuds. At Leo, for earbuds, $10, you know what? I'll take that. You know, if they last me a week or two, well, that sucks, but it was only $10. That again tells me, why the hell would I throw $150 at this console?
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to look like an Xbox One, is what it is. It fails on all levels. See, are there any technical stats to this thing?
I doubt it.
Oh, it is expandable, apparently. You can put in a, well, they call it a TF slot, which is what they call SD cards in for the Chinese market. It has a composite, which is nifty. You don't see a lot of that anymore. And an HDMI port. Ooh, we're high tech here. Yeah, it's... You can put up to a 32 gigabyte SD card in it. So, and it runs on Linux 3.0. So that doesn't mean anything. Literally, it means nothing because there's so many different iterations of the Linux kernel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, if last time I looked at Ubuntu, it was at Ubuntu 18. So, yeah. But at least it's Linux, so you know it's probably hackable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know nothing about its processor or anything like that. So yeah, there's no way I'd buy that. No.
No. But apparently Soulja Boy thinks his name still carries some weight. Maybe it does. I don't know. I'm not a fan of rap music or rappers in general.
Yeah. Somehow I don't think he's getting a whole lot of sales. Maybe his mama bought it one out of pity, but thing is, though, he can't be making a huge markup on these things anyway, because the headphones, for example, are almost exactly the same price as they are on Alibaba. So how's he making any profit off that at all? Now, of course, obviously the console and the, handheld, they're a little bit more, about $30 to $50 more, respectively, than what you get off Alibaba. But still, that's not a huge, when you're selling something, that's not a huge amount of money in pocket for each sale. So, yeah. But what's worse is that he's saying it was his thing. He made this. And... well, I don't think Alibaba would come after him for it. They're like, whatever you got to say, man, do whatever you do. You're still buying our product. But that's just basically saying, hey, I'm wholly and completely responsible for all of this. And Nintendo will go, okay, well, there's however many, probably several hundred, let's say on the handheld, it says that 3,000 games, I'm betting at least a third of those are Nintendo games.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You've breached our copyright 1,000 some odd times for each handheld You sold? Whoops. Oh, did I mention that that's a $100,000 fine each?
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting Soldier Boy can't afford that bill.
Well, hey, he's trying to make a quick buck, and he doesn't understand the rules of, rights or the property rights. So, hey.
He obviously doesn't understand how aggressive Nintendo can be.
Well, they try very hard to keep their brand safe. I mean, they are usually really, really anal retentive when it comes to anybody using their name, their images, whatever.
Absolutely.
So some schmuck who was relevant sort of 11 years ago pops in and starts, just jacking up their product. I think they're going to hit him like a frickin' pile driver on a walnut.
But here's the thing. They can't do anything about Alibaba. No. They can't because they're in China.
Him in a sling.
They've got him dead to rights. All they got to do is throw up. Hey, what did you mean by this tweet? What about this one? How about that one? Dude, you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
Any judge in the land's going to go, oh boy. So how much do you have in the bank? Yeah, all the assets. Seize them. You got nothing, son. All he can do is file bankruptcy. And even then, he's going to lose most everything. So
he should get on his phone or whatever he uses to commute to Twitter on.
Hopefully it's not a Soldier phone.
Rob Van Winkle and just ask him how it went for him when he used that little dun 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 dun. He used that without permission.
Yeah.
Because there was this little tiny dun at the end that was enough of a difference to make a judge go, oh, that's completely different. You're perfectly fine.
Yeah,
no, the judge said, you're stupid. Give me all your money. Because I'm giving it to Queen. To the real musician who came up with that little riff.
Yeah. Not exactly transformative there, son. Anyway, that does remind me of something, though. An actually important story that came up just a few days ago.
And what was that?
Well, Nintendo, they historically have been... You know how most game companies, they love you if you'll do videos about their games or reviews or you put up, you do live streams with their games, that sort of thing, because it's free advertisement for their games, right? Most people love that. They give you all the permission in the world. They want you to play their games. Now, in some cases, like with Persona 5, they didn't want the ending ruined for people wanting to buy the game, but hadn't bought it in the first day. So they said, hey, guys, we're going to, put copyright claims on anybody who live streams or makes videos beyond this particular chapter of the game, because we don't want you exposing the end of the game until, a month or so down the line. It was reasonable. It was a reasonable request. Because it was important that people be able to, get that surprise themselves. But most companies, totally fine with you playing their games, whatever. Right?
All right.
Not Nintendo. Nintendo would put a copyright claim on anything that had Nintendo content. Even a couple seconds of the Mario theme would get claimed. They'll claim a whole, you could be a 10-hour video and you have 10 seconds of the Mario theme in it or some iconic sounds from a Nintendo game or a brief clip of video from a Nintendo game. Bam, they claim the whole video.
And like I said, they're anal retentive about protecting their brand, even if it would in turn bring them more money.
Right. Then a couple of years ago, they created the Nintendo Content, Nintendo Creators Program.
Right.
Primarily on YouTube, where if you join the program, you can make Nintendo videos, but you have to basically be in their group, their content creators group, where the money comes basically to them, and then they give you a portion of the ad revenue off of the video you made, because they take like 60% of it and you'd get 40%. It was a pretty bad deal, but at least if you were really wanting to do Nintendo content, that would be a way to do it. Wasn't right, it wasn't fair, and it certainly drove people away from making Nintendo content, but it was a way for people that wanted to be able to monetize their videos with Nintendo content. Until recently. Out of nowhere, Nintendo announced, yeah, the Nintendo creators program's getting shut down. Y'all can make videos all you like. We're cool with it. As long as you don't do things that, like, basically break it. The rules they set would basically have broken Twitch or YouTube terms of agreements anyway. You know, showing hacks and things like that, or, you know, anything like that, sexualizing things and whatnot. Fine. I totally get that. That's reasonable. And for once, I gotta say, Nintendo, hey, welcome to the 21st century.
About time.
Somebody finally went, you know, we've got... It just happens to they change the rules just before the new Smash Brothers game comes out. And right after they put out these really super popular Pokemon games, where people were like, oh my God, we really want to show these games off, but we don't want Nintendo coming after us. And they basically, I've been seeing a lot of these streams with that Pokemon game going, and Nintendo wasn't coming after them. They were just kind of staying mum. Maybe they had already decided to lay off. They just hadn't announced it yet. But regardless, they saw maybe as a test, like, oh, wow, this will actually help us out.
This is bringing in new money.
Ooh. Yes. It's like hundreds and hundreds of commercials for our game. And people are watching it, and then they're going out and buying the game. We're seeing spikes in purchases. It's almost as though this was a good idea all along. Yeah. Anyway, so Nintendo has come to their senses, and it's a good thing. Yay!
Yes, but for how long?
Actually, I think as long as people are reasonable, I think Nintendo's going to finally be reasonable. I mean... they've actually become the more reasonable company out there compared to a lot of companies. Like Sony, about the same time, just put out these really restrictive rules on games that can be sold on the PlayStation Store. Basically, games that have that are those like romance type games, and where basically you're seeing, you know, waifu anime type girls with, you know, big boobs and showing their panties and things like that, and eventually you can get them mostly naked and whatnot, or in not lingerie at least. They're FAP games, right? Those are getting wiped out.
Yeah, they're all coming over to Steam.
Games with all this sexualized content is getting wiped off of the Sony store, and people were calling it flat out censorship. Unfortunately, there's a couple new laws coming into effect soon, like in the next month. SESTA, and I don't remember the other one, but they're basically meant to fight sex trafficking. But they do anything but. And that's why Facebook is driving out any sexualized content, and Tumblr is dumping all sexualized content. They won't go after Nazis, but they're going after sexual content. Twitter's expected to do so very soon. They're driving everyone to Pornhub, because Pornhub isn't based in America. It's offshore. So the law, you know, people, they can skirt the law there. but that's not the best location for people to, you know, put up their stuff if they want to just talk about, hey, I want to go hook up with somebody. I'm going out tonight and I'm hoping to hook up. That can get you banned. Just saying that. That's stupid. But we think Sony's trying to make sure that they're not caught by that law.
Yeah.
And maybe we're going to start seeing this show up with other companies. You know, maybe Microsoft is probably going to do the same thing soon enough. So, Nintendo really doesn't have to because they don't have that sort of content.
So basically, we're going into another era of prudish behavior. Yay.
Yes. Yes. The laws that are going to basically say, won't someone think of the children? That's effectively what it is. Thank Only you, in this Trump. Case, they're going to have, yeah, and he signed it in. But basically, effectively, they're going to be able to slap down, and the platforms are the problem because they're the ones that will get sued if someone is offended by sexual content on there. Well, that's silly.
You're offended by sexual content, don't play those games. Have control over your children and don't let them buy or play those games.
Now, I don't have a place.
Being a parent.
Yeah, I don't have a PlayStation 4.
Well, neither do I.
But I'm betting it's got parental controls.
Oh, they all do.
And yeah, that's pretty standard. Pretty sure you might want to use that on little Johnny's console. Oh, wait, you can't even figure out how to use the cable box? You have to ask Johnny how to program the new remote? Yeah, you're screwed. But that's not Sony's problem. That's not Facebook's problem. I know we're a little offbeat from Soulja Boy. We're kind of far afield, but main thing I wanted to say is that, you know, Nintendo, you're awesome right now. I have to say right now because they routinely turn about and are not. Bethesda, you're not awesome. And Soulja Boy, you stupid son. Any other thoughts?
Well, I was just going to say for Soulja Boy, before you lose all your money, take a few bucks, walk down to a copyright lawyer, and just, you know, run your sales ideas past him. See what he has to say. Trust me, that few hundred dollars you'd spend for his console or his consult will could, if you're quick, save you whatever fortune you have.
He needs to stop selling the two game consoles. Absolutely. I mean, the watch, the, you know, all that other stuff, fine, whatever, I don't care. Even the phone, don't care. But those game consoles are going to ruin him. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Ruin him. And maybe he thinks, well, it's offshore, so it won't affect me. But, dude, you don't understand Nintendo. Do you live in the United States? Are you subject to their laws? Yes. Even if you leave the country now, son. You're still a U.S. citizen. You're still subject to U.S. laws.
All it takes for them to say is, I want his assets frozen because of these reasons. Yep. And any sane judge is going to go, I see your point. And bam, your finances are shut down while they investigate. And their investigation could take years.
The only thing he could do is try and move everything to a offshore, like the Cayman Islands, where they don't have a treaty with the U.S., so they can't freeze those assets. But then he can't do business or move money around to any country that has these treaties with the United States, because then they'll freeze those assets.
Yep.
It's you dumb, son. You dumb. Anyway, enough insulting of Soulja Boy. Do you have any other stories you think need mentioning? Because this is your last shot.
No, not really.
Okay. Well,
it's been kind of a sad news year.
It has. Well, at least it's almost over. I think when we do the show to start off next year, we'll probably do a picking up a recap of any news that's come between now and the end of the year. But so in a few weeks, we get to hear that. That'll be the first week of January. So we will cover stuff. It's just not for a couple more weeks. Anyway, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you actually listened to the whole episode? I'm frankly shocked, and have lost a little bit of respect for you, to be honest. But since you are obviously a glutton for punishment, why don't you drop by our new website, scormy.com? It can't be a much bigger time waster than this podcast has been, can it? Actually, yes, it totally can, but check it out anyway.